This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and does not replace your own financial, tax, legal, or financial product advice.
Hey guys, and welcome to today's episode of Gen Z Money. Today, I'm going to be chatting to Yuel, who is a very successful mortgage broker at age 24. I'm going to find out how he got into his career as a mortgage broker, what he's doing on a day-to-day basis, the income you can expect to be paid as a mortgage broker, how you get paid, and his advice for someone who's looking to get into the same industry. Hi, Yuel. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks, Azaria. Appreciate it.
So I have a ton of questions for you today because I know that you've been a mortgage broker for a little while now, and I thought I'd go through some of the common questions people might have, especially for those that might be looking to get into the role themselves. So first of all, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Cool. I'm UL, 24, turning 25 at the end of the year. I finished high school in 2013, wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I just knew, you know, my parents said, go to uni, and I liked numbers, liked people, so did finance and human resources. My second last year, one of my friends was having a party. Her dad was a real estate agent, so at the party there was all these real estate agents. I didn't know anyone there, but before I looked up the list, found out what they did.
So you did that research beforehand?
Yeah, I'm... As soon as I get invited, so I look at the invitation list and then found out they're all real estate agents, so don't know anything about property. Actually looked up the property couch, so that was like my first ever podcast. And like a couple of weeks before, I was just literally just reading up on property. Went in there, you know, asking questions that I already knew the answer to. Yeah. And then the girl's dad said, oh, you know, you're a great guy. I'm going to put you on to our mortgage broker that deals with our agents. So that was 2016. Got in contact with him then. He said he didn't need anything at the moment. He didn't have time for it. Said, get back in contact with me next July. That day, I put a reminder for like July 2017 to get in contact. So I was just pestering him for like a month. And then he gave me work experience in the last semester of uni. So I went to Griffith University as well, as you did, right?
I did.
Okay, cool. Last semester gave me work experience. That was hard as well, purely because like the last semester, the subjects were difficult, but it was more so living on like half annual leave at Woolworths, and then also, you know, studying full time. But he was the type of person where like he'd say, you know, if you want to come, you can come in terms of like after hours meetings, working Saturdays as well.
Cool.
But being me, I'd always go and just work everything out as I could. And then after, yeah, he gave me a full-time job.
So what was that first job that you were doing for him?
It was more so like back-end stuff. So, you know, if someone is doing a construction loan, they have like what's called progress payments, where at each stage of the build, the bank pays a certain amount. So it was just me processing those, you know, checking in with the banks to make sure applications were moving along. Everything really back end. And then slowly after 3 months, he put me into like doing like applications. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he'd do the meeting with basically being my hand was held by other staff as well. But he'd do the meeting, you know, I'd put the application together, lodge the deal, and then basically follow it through all the way to settlement. So I was doing that. And then it was about 2018, maybe April, May, where I started doing like meetings, like just sitting in meetings with him. I was already doing that anyway, but it was more full on where I was in every meeting.
Yeah.
Because I had more time. So doing those after hours meetings, Saturdays as well. And then it was supposed to be like a 2-year plan where we're going to, you know, groom you for 2 years and then throw you into being a mortgage broker. But it kind of was like mortgage brokers that kind of game, I think it's either sink or swim. Mm-hmm. And it got to that stage where it was basically, I think July 2018, and it was sink or swim. So they threw me in the deep end, and yeah, I remember like my first meeting that I had, completely bluffed it. Like it was just smile, come on, pretend like you know what I mean, fake it till you make it. and then came out of there. And then luckily I already had an established relationship with them. So it wasn't like fresh clients. I don't know if they knew I didn't know anything, but you know, eventually wrote my first deal. I think it was like August, like 2018 or something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. So that was a few years ago now. You've been doing it for a while. Mm. So what does it look like today? Are you still working for that business?
No. So the guy who got me into it, he ended up selling. So it was Time Home Loan. So he ended up selling back in March this year. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I was kind of like, I was looking at just more so the business and thinking everything that was kind of coming in, I was the one bringing it in. So my reason for being there was the loyalty side to like who brought me in.
Yeah.
So I would never have left if he hadn't sold. But after he'd sold, I just said, well, there's really no point in me being here. I was scared because you never really know. Mm. You know, going from full-time to self-employed, you don't know if you have it, but it's, yeah, been the best decision I've made.
Amazing.
Yeah. So went to Loan Market. So I'm at Loan Market just as a franchisee owner, which started in April.
Mm-hmm. And what are you doing on a daily basis? Are you driving out to see clients? How much of your business or your meetings are online?
I literally do not like face. I shouldn't say that. I do love face-to-face meetings, but most of my meetings are video. Purely because, like, I think that's what was the best thing that came out of COVID, to mm-hmm. be honest, that you can literally sit in front of your computer and I can smash out 4 or 5 meetings back to back, because half the meetings you have in person are the chatting side of things, getting to know people, whereas going from, you know, in person to video, if I know a client can't do it, I won't baby it, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I have someone drive out to me for 45 minutes, I'm not going to send them back in 20 minutes. Like, it just, I will put more effort into like just making sure, you know, they have a chance, if that makes sense. Not that I don't do it in video, but it's more like you don't have to sit there chatting the whole time.
Yeah.
So most of them are video. Otherwise, I generally say video or in the office, but it just depends on who refers me the business, just purely because some agents, because a lot of my business is real estate agents, some agents, when I first started with them, I'd always see their clients. So it's kind of hard to then break, you can slowly break it off, but there's those particular clients that you just have to see, which I'm okay with.
They just love you.
Yeah. And you just have to, do it. But
yeah.
I could probably 80, 90% is just video meetings. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And then being self-employed now, do you do everything yourself or have you hired anyone to help with all the admin work?
Yeah. So I straight away, like, it was like always think hire for growth, not because you're being reactive, be proactive with it. So as soon as I started, I found out this lady was leaving a Time Home Loan. So then I literally the next day offered her a job because I knew I didn't have time to like train someone. Yeah. I still train her, but I didn't have time to get to know someone, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, I already knew what she's like, that we gelled. So it was easy in that sense. I do a lot of the upfront stuff. Like, in terms of, I book my own meetings, I'll have my client meetings, prepare for the meeting, and then I will do the loan notes. And then once the loan notes are done, I'll send it through to her. She'll create the application, send it to the clients, lodge the deal, and then follow it through to settlement. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what the process is clean. But every deal, sometimes you have just those deals where I have to be involved from like approval to settlement, just because we have tight time frames. But in like, if on paper, that's what the process is.
Yeah. Perfect. And having known you for a while now, I know that you love working. It doesn't even seem like a job for you half the time. It's something that you love doing.
Yeah.
So could you share a few things that, like, what is it about mortgage working that you love?
It's definitely like when I did finance and HR, I was like, I love numbers. I wasn't, you know, the best student at maths at school. It's just more so that numbers don't lie.
Mm.
1 + 1 = 2. unless you get that wrong.
Yeah.
But like, for clients, it's easy for me to be like, look, these are the numbers. This is what we can do. And then as soon as they see that, then it's more so they look at the relationship, because any one of my clients could get a better deal out there. Like, there's always a better deal that you just can't beat. But then it comes to relationship, which is the part I really like. I really love the upfront part of, you know, getting to know the clients, them seeing the value. But the data entry stuff, I really don't like. I'll be completely honest. And that's why I have Karen, who I completely love. If I didn't have her, like whenever she goes on holidays, I'm like, okay, here we go. Like, just have to block clients. I can't do as much purely because those things, like, I can still do it because I know how to do it, but it's not my, not what I enjoy. Mm-hmm. But the upfront stuff I really enjoy.
And what about is there a lot of flexibility in your role?
Yes and no, in the sense that I will have, like, for example, if I wanted to start at 10 o'clock, I could start at 10 o'clock. But those 2-3 hours that I haven't started early on, I'm going to have to give somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So it's flexible in the sense that, like, I don't have to, start at 8 o'clock when I choose to. I don't have to, because I'll generally start on a normal day, might be 9. My meetings will start at about 4. So then, four or five, so then I have a 5, 6, 7, and 8 p.m. generally. Mm-hmm. 8 p.m. are just for those particular clients where, like, they've called me the day before, they've signed a contract. I block them out, but generally 5, 6, 7 p.m. On a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then on a Thursday, I only have a 5 p.m. because I try to block out that night just to kind of do whatever I want. And then Fridays, no meetings. But then Saturdays, I'll do like open homes with real estate agents. So from, between 9 to 3, might just be doing open homes. I don't do as many now purely because when I'm at open homes, I get more leads. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just like, I can't control like the lead flow. So some weekends, I just don't do any open homes. I don't go into the real estate office purely because I don't want to get any more, but you still get calls.
It's a good problem to have, isn't it?
Agreed. It is a good problem. So that's why I'm at the point, like I genuinely was just looking at for the next year, 2 years, just Karen and I, was just thinking settle $8 million a month. That's all I was happy with. Mm-hmm. And then now we're doing, tens a month, and then it's going to be much more this month. And then I just can see it coming. So I'm at the point where I'm just like, okay, now I need to hire, because although the money is really good, I don't really need that money. I'm 24, single, don't have any dependents apart from my little brothers that I love. but yeah, I'm at the point where I'm looking to hire just to kind of palm those deals off that I don't need.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. So what are some of the challenges that you found in the last few years of your job?
It's probably knowing when to take a break. Like, that's probably the biggest thing. Like, I found out the hard way when I was at Time Home Loans, because there was one day where I was just like, I have all this, stuff to do, and I just feel like I can't do it. Like, I was at that breaking point, and like, luckily,
paralyzed by it.
Yeah. And luckily I had, people in the business and just said, look, literally turn your phone off, only do this today. And that's what got me through at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But it is probably more so having that break, which is why I have that Thursday night off. Even if I'm just literally doing nothing and watching TV the whole time, like, I'm not a big TV person just because I don't have time to watch TV, but it might just be watching TV or doing nothing, going out for dinner, or just taking time away from work. So I think that's probably, and I still have challenges with that, like, just because I can't help it.
Yeah.
But I'm getting better. But yeah, that would probably be the biggest challenge, is just taking time out for yourself.
I mean, that's one of the things about having, a career job. If you have a day off, you've just got to find the hours elsewhere. The work doesn't go on pause. It's not like when you work in retail, someone else can cover for you. You still got to get that work done.
Correct.
So give us a ballpark figure. I know I won't ask specifically for yourself, but I'm sure the question on everyone's lips is, how much do mortgage brokers actually get paid, and also how do they get paid?
So we get paid through the bank's profits on the loan. So like, doesn't ever, go on the client or anything. In terms of like figures, it just depends. Like, average mortgage broker will make, probably 40 to 50,000, and that's him settling, 1 to 2 million per month.
So when you say settling 1 to 2 million, does that mean $1 to $2 million worth of loans?
Worth of loans, correct. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think the MFAA, which is a professional body, I think their average for all brokers, and you have to be a member, I think it's like 1.5 million to 2 million. Whereas I like to settle 8 million a month, if not closer to 10. And to be honest, I could be making Do you want me to say figures? Okay. So totally as like, oh, like it's just, okay, cool. So I'll, as if you settle, for example, 8 million, it could, depending on the bank, because the splits is generally 0.65% of the loan amount. So it could be anywhere between 40 to 55K a month, but that's more so, that's to the business. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, how I pay myself, et cetera, is different. Mm-hmm. So anywhere between, if you're settling 8 to 10 million, yeah, you know, 45 to 55K mm-hmm. a month. But then again, like, that's 8 to 10 by myself with Karen. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you look at other brokers, and everyone has their own business model, and it all just comes down to time, because mm-hmm. other brokers could still be doing 8 to 10 but have 3 or 4 support staff. Mm-hmm. Whereas I know I have the time and energy now to write as much mm-hmm. And work as much, but eventually I'll get to a point where, and that's why I'm looking at that extra staff where, you know, I'm happy with settling 8. So if I have anything extra, I can just palm it off to someone else.
Yeah. So that it doesn't become unmanageable if you want to eventually slow down.
Correct. Whereas people, you know, settling 8 to 10, they might just be happy with, you just have to be happy with giving up money for more time. Makes sense. But again, single, no dependents, have the time. So why not?
That's it for sure.
Yeah.
And for anyone who might be interested in becoming a mortgage broker, obviously your story was through a lot of determination. Mm. But is it hard to get a role in mortgage broking, and is it a competitive industry to get into?
I wouldn't say it's like a competitive industry. Like the entry level is really low. Like you need a certificate, which took me like 3 days to complete when I was doing it, and then a diploma. You don't need the diploma, but you just might as well get the diploma. So I wouldn't say it's a competitive market to get into. I think where people go wrong is that they see, you know, these mortgage brokers can earn this much, et cetera, but don't really know what goes into it. So my biggest thing would say, if you are young, looking to get into it, go find like a broker that writes big volume. Like if that's where you see yourself being, you could just be someone, and each of their own could be someone that is happy with, you know, writing 2-3 million a month. Doesn't matter, but find someone that you can see yourself being, and then just learn from them. You know, I was fortunate where I had one of the best brokers, Ryan Berger, training me. So I very much was just in it, and him and I were very similar in that sense. But I would say find someone that you align yourself with. It doesn't have to be someone that's writing massive volumes. It could just be someone that you get along with, you like their process, learn from them. And then before you go out on your own quickly, maybe just be your own broker under them, just so you still have that support. And then at one moment, you'll have that inclination that, you know, you're ready to do this on your own, and then look at self-employed. But by that point, you might just be happy working for them.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
And you talked before about going to open homes and getting leads through there. Is that the main way that mortgage brokers would generate leads, or how would they typically build their business?
I personally think that is the easiest way to get leads, in the sense that when I'm at open homes, I'm not there for, like, if I get a lead, great, but I'm also there for the real estate agent. Like if, you know, the real estate agent, you know, wants me to, you know, take names down or, you know, put a flag up or whatever it is, I'm also there to help them because we're all human. And at the end of the day, if you're spending every weekend helping out a particular agent, whether they like you or not, people feel guilty for not sending you deals if you're spending time with them. So I think that's the important thing. But, you know, different brokers are different. Some brokers are big financial planning businesses, like where a lot of their business are from financial planners. Others, you know, real estate agents. I personally like the real estate side of it because, you know, the contract is 30 days, 45 days settlement. Mm-hmm. Like, whereas financial planning business, which I still like, I just know you need more so of a bigger team to support that kind of business, purely because it's a slow burner.
Yeah.
Like, they don't, you see them the first time, then it's back to the financial planner. And then it's kind of, it's a slower process. Whereas real estate business is someone has signed a contract with a 30-day settlement or whatever it's going to be. So then I know we don't get paid straight away. We get paid generally a month or 2 months after settlement, being a broker.
And how much does social media strategy play into your business at the moment?
I don't do a lot of social media. Like, we've known each other for a while. I don't ever post anything, ever share anything. I know eventually I need to get into it only when I look to build like a bigger business. Mm-hmm. At the moment, I know how much I can get heaps of leads in by just being out there with real estate agents, because you just need generally five good real estate agents that send you business on a week-to-week basis. And that will build your business, because then you have your client referrals that come out of it, and all of a sudden you just have leads coming in from everywhere. But social media for me is something I'll look at when I'm not loan market, because I'm a loan market franchisee.
Yeah.
When I become, you know, Shoal Financial. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. So I know everyone that's had a good experience with mortgage brokers are quite loyal to their mortgage brokers. So how much of your clients come from maybe repeat clients or clients that have referred their friends or family?
I would say it's probably 50-50 with like real estate agents and client referrals. Like, that's why I'm finding all these referrals come in, because, like, again, I don't know if it's the market, because the market is really good. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people maybe not selling online but off market, and then a lot of buyers around. So I'm always like, you know, there's always a bit of doubt and for me, because I always think, am I doing enough? And that's where in this market I'm just thinking, is it just the market that's so good, or is it actually me being good? I don't know why I'm getting all these referrals. So it's 50-50, yes, but I don't know if it's because of the market. Mm-hmm. It could change in 6 or 12 months' time. Because I always think you'll find out who the good brokers are when the market is crap.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when. And luckily during that COVID, when COVID happened, like when I was at time, we were all, scared. We were thinking, but we came out of that and we wrote that much business. So that's where I have a bit of confidence there. But you never know at the end of the day until something goes wrong. So it'll be interesting to see once it turns, and it will turn eventually, I think. I don't think there'll be, massive price drops. I just think like interest rates will go up, and that's where we might see that turn in terms of how many buyers are actually out in the market.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it seems like you've been doing a pretty good job with these last few years, so I have faith that will continue.
That.
Now, I'm just going to ask if you have any final last words for someone who may be listening, maybe they're in high school or at the early stages of their career and they think that mortgage broking might be good for them. What words of advice would you give to them if they're trying to figure that out for themselves?
I'd say just like have a chat to people. Like, you know, your parents or someone knows a mortgage broker within your circle. So I think have a chat to them and don't rush into it. I think don't be so impatient to want to make all this money. I was lucky, you know, because straight out of uni into like a job. So that was fortunate in that sense. But yeah, I think just don't rush things and then have a chat to people is what I would say.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Well, this has been very informative. So I'm sure if anyone's listening, they've got a lot from this. So thank you so much for joining us, Yuel.
Thanks for having us.
We acknowledge the Darkin Young people, traditional custodians of the land on which our studio sits, and pay respect to their elders, past and present. We extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who may listen to our podcast. If you're after personal financial advice, don't get it from a podcast. If you would like help based on your own personal situation, head over to sortyourmoneyout.com, click Get Help, and we'd be happy to introduce you to one of our trusted advisors. Our panel of advisors, mortgage brokers, and accountants work with clients all over Australia so they can connect with you wherever you are. That's sortyourmoneyout.com and click Get Help. This podcast is for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general financial advice only, which does not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Because of that, you should consider if the advice is appropriate to you and your needs before acting on the information. If you do choose to buy a financial product, read the product disclosure statement and obtain appropriate financial advice tailored to your needs. Symo Interactive Proprietary Limited, the publisher of the podcast, is an authorized representative of Money Sherpa Proprietary Limited, which holds financial services license 451289.